Welcome to today's Theology in 30 Minutes or Less lesson. Today we are going to be looking at the creation of all things. The creation of all things. We've been talking about God, and so now we're going to look at God as our Creator. Where do we come from? Why are we here? Is there a Creator? Why did He create? What is His relationship with His creation? These basic questions have boggled the minds of people throughout the centuries. Admittedly, these are not just challenging questions, but hugely significant questions. When confronted with the crushing weight of these questions, many worldviews just give up. Postmodernism doesn't even attempt an answer. You're on your own to make sense of such questions. Even naturalism doesn't attempt to answer such questions. For Darwin's theory of evolution, it isn't even really about origins, where matter itself came from, but it's really a question of beginnings. How did mankind arise as one species? But the Bible is not bashful about such things, and it's bold and confident in its assertions. So where would you turn in your Bible to find an answer about origins? Well, obviously you knew the answer. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, let's reflect on these first 10 words for a moment. What do they tell us about creation? They tell us that God created. Creation owes itself not to chance or impersonal forces, but God. God created in the beginning. God created time. He's pre-existent, eternal. Matter is not. Matter will come later. God created the heavens and the earth. So we see all there is, all that exists, owes itself to God. So God's not embarrassed by this biblical worldview. He doesn't try to tuck it in later in the account of Israel's history. He doesn't think this will be hard for people to accept, like he'll bury the lead somewhere further in the story. No, he boldly and confidently leads with He is the Creator. Before there was anything, He was. So there is an enormous amount of theology in these first 10 words. And there's really no Christianity without the God who creates. And so the Bible begins with this line, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and it establishes who God is and the entire relationship of God with the rest of the world. It teaches the goodness of the world and eventually what goes wrong with it. The beginning of history also points to the end of history. There is a beginning when God makes things, and then there is a fall, and then there's a redemption, and eventually there's a new creation. It points us to our everlasting hope as Christians. It's hugely important, especially in today's skeptical age. The word Genesis literally means beginnings. Moses penned these words, but he obviously wasn't there to observe and record what happened. Like Revelation that speaks of the end of all things, this truth in Genesis 1 had to be revealed to the writer of Scripture, Moses. So how should we read Genesis 1 and 2? Is it just a myth about the beginnings? Is it a poetic message? A scientific message? Well, the Scripture does reveal to us many things about science, but it is not a science textbook. And it's not merely poetry either. There is symbolism used at times in Scripture, but in Genesis 1 and 2, Moses is writing plainly about literal events, concrete events that happen. The main point of this portion of Scripture, Genesis 1 and 2, is to give us a theology of creation and God's relationship to humanity. So, if you were to tell someone on the street, God created the heavens and the earth, what kind of discussion do you think might begin? They might say, well, what about the dinosaurs? What about, isn't the earth much older than the biblical account? What about the fossils? What about evolution? So often our thinking about creation gets wrapped up in these types of things. Fossils and dinosaurs, and even later on the flood is brought in to explain many of the features that we find in digging up the earth. But if we're not careful, we get distracted from what Genesis 1 and 2 really wants to tell us. And that is that God is the Creator, and all creation stands beneath Him and owing allegiance and obedience to Him. So what we want to do in this time is not necessarily answer every question you have about evolution and origins and dinosaurs and all that kind of stuff. What we want to do is let God speak and tell us about creation. So we've got seven biblical truths about creation that we're going to walk through. And then we'll talk some more about different views and the age of the earth a little bit. But really, we're using this lesson in our doctrine of God to lead us into understanding the doctrine of man and sin and how God relates to man. So the first thing that I want you to see today, the first truth about creation, is that God created the universe out of nothing. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Scripture is asserting that God made everything out of nothing. Out of nothing. Romans 4 and verse number 17, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of whom he believed, of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God calls out creation out of nothing, out of nothing. Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. Say, by the word of God the heavens were made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. One more, Psalm 90:12, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever the earth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So that's the first thing. God created everything out of nothing. He is the God that existed before anything, and He's created all things. So a second fact about creation is that God created all things visible and invisible. So He made the universe out of nothing, and then He made everything. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. So everything was made by God. You are worthy, Revelation 4:11 says, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. We could go on and on. Acts 4:24. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, You are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. So the heaven and the earth and everything indicates that God created the entire universe. And the entire universe includes the unseen things. I'm not just referring to things that are unseen because they are too distant or unseen because they are too small, although certainly those things from the farthest part of the universe and the galaxies out there to the tiniest thing we can see with the most powerful microscope and even beyond. God has made all those things. But when I talk about the invisible, I'm talking about the spiritual realm, the angels. Every realm of existence, every other heavenly being that gathers around God's throne to give Him praise, He created those. Even the heavens themselves. A place God created where His presence is especially evident. Now, this is seen in the Old and in the New Testament. In Nehemiah 6, Ezra prays, "You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you." The New Testament, Colossians 1, 16, "By Him," speaking of Christ, "all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him." Here, the creation of the invisible heavenly beings is also explicitly affirmed. That God is not just one of the heavenly beings, but He is the creator of all other beings, physical as well as spiritual, visible and invisible. A third truth about creation is that God created time. God created times. Now, physics tells us that time is a property resulting from the existence of matter. So the succession of moments, one after another, which is dependent on the existence of a material or substance. So what that means is that time exists when matter exists. God is not matter. God created matter. Before that, God was simply existing. And since there was no matter, and because God does not change, time had no existence, and therefore no meaning or no relation to Him. That's why in Genesis 1:1, He can say, "In the beginning, He created the beginning." So that means for us that our God is not bound by time like we are. God's existence is independent of time. It's like all of time and space and matter is something that's separate from God, that He sees and observes. He created the reality in which we live. He didn't just create us. He created the whole space-time continuum that we dwell in. Our God is truly amazing. "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end," says the Lord, "who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Psalm 102 says, "They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." So these verses show that God is eternal. And in contrast, they each show that our universe is not eternal. The universe had a beginning. It's bound by time. And yet God Himself has not. So the evolutionists who try to figure out the mystery of time and space in order to solve the problem of beginnings have no answer. God has no beginning. And so He doesn't have any limitations of space and time. So those looking for the solution to the origin of the universe in the mysteries of time and space are looking in the wrong place. Because the origin of time and space is not within time and space. It's outside of it. As God is the one who created not just the molecules and the atoms, but the very time and space that the whole universe is found in. So when we look at creation, we're noting that God made everything out of nothing. God made all things visible and invisible. God created time itself. And then how did God create? God created by His Word. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Over and over, we find those words in Genesis 1. 10 times. "And God said." The point is unmistakable. God calls things into existence by His Word. God literally spoke the universe into existence. It was created out of something that was not there by the Word of God. I mean, God spoke and it was done. God's Word is necessary for salvation as well. God speaks and His words bring spiritual life. God's Word brings life. And Hebrews 11, verse 3. "By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible." And think for a moment about the power of God's Word. The picture painted is not God who's planning diligently and who's sweating and laboring in toil, who's frantically trying to figure out how to make all this happen. He merely speaks, and it's so. It may take us forever to build things. In just down the road is I-10 running through Los Angeles and through the San Gabriel Valley. Since I have moved to California in the end of 2013, I-10 has been under construction, just trying to widen it, trying to improve it. It's taking forever. And yet God created the whole earth with the power of His voice in a moment, in a flash. There is unlimited power when God speaks. I mean, it's this truth that is the foundation of why as a church we gather around God's Word. And we want to order our service by His Word. We want the sermon to declare not the preacher's ideas, but what ideas are right in the text. We want God's Word to speak because we believe that the words of God formed the world around us. God's Word creates. God's Word accomplishes what He wants it to accomplish. The world doesn't just turn at God's command, but it literally hangs in existence by God's Word. The picture that we get in Genesis is that God created by His Word, and it was done perfectly. It's not trial and error. It doesn't say God said, "Let there be light." And then He's like, "Oh, no, no, no. Not quite like that. I mean, let there be light like this." That's not the way the Bible describes it. God speaks and His Word is powerful to create, and it's perfect that it creates exactly what He intended to create. Creation is accomplished by God's Word. But creation is also a triune act. Triune act. What I mean by that is that our Creator is triune. You can see a glimpse of this right in Genesis 1 and verse 26. When it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." You see this emphasis on the Trinity, and we talked about that previously. If you missed it, you can just look at the other Theology 30 lessons and find the one about the unity and the Trinity of God. We see in Genesis and in the rest of Scripture that God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were all involved in creation. In Psalm 19, obviously the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. It's clear in Genesis 1 and 2, God is involved in creation, and primarily involved, but the Son is also involved. The Trinity of God, they're not different where they don't work together. God is God. God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But as the Father is working in creation, the Son is working. John 1 says, all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. That's pretty clear. Colossians 1:16, we read earlier, by Him, speaking of Jesus, all things were created. And then Hebrews 1:2 says that God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. Notice the last words, through whom also He made the worlds. So God the Father is involved, God the Son's involved, and God the Spirit is involved as well. Genesis 2, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Job also asserts that the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. You send forth your Spirit, they are created. In John 6, we see it's the Spirit that indwells a person who has been born again, giving spiritual life. Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are Spirit, they are life. So the Father creates, the Son creates, and the Holy Spirit creates, bringing new life. Number six, the universe God created was very good. And you hear that over and over if you read through Genesis 1. Day one, God did this, and it was good. Day two, He did that, and it was good. Day three, all the way, it was good, it was good, it was good. And then at the end of the 6 days of creation, we've got this verse. Then God saw everything He had made, and indeed it was very good. God delighted in the creation that He had made that was turned out just as He had purposed it. Though sin has marred the world right now, even to the point that creation itself groans, according to Romans 8:22, this world is still good in God's sight and should be seen as good by us. So we should not say that the things of this world are wicked and evil just inherently. No, we are to enjoy the good things that God has made. God in creation reveals Himself to us, as we talked about before, and God made so many good things for our pleasure, for our enjoyment, the beauty of the world for our enjoyment. His good gifts are so that we might receive them and receive them with gladness and thanksgiving to God. That's the logic here of 1 Timothy 4:4-5, where it says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now quickly, our seventh fact about creation is that God created the universe to show His glory. To show His glory. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. That's why He made creation, to glorify Himself. That's why He can say here, I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar. He's talking about the regathering of Israel in the end times. And He says, bring them all, everyone who's called by my name, whom I have created, notice, for my glory. I have formed him, yes, I have made him. God says that He created all so that it all could bring glory to His name. God did not need us to bring Him glory, but He made us for that purpose. Now, when we talk about God as a creator, it's what makes sense of the world. When anyone thinks about life and the world, they have to have some kind of beginning, some kind of thing that they start with. For some, it's confidence in their own thinking. For a Christian, we begin with this presupposition. Before anything else, this is the thought that guides all our other thoughts. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As creator, then, God has the right to make the rules. The God of the Bible cannot deny Himself. That fact is the basis of us understanding the law of non-contradiction. A logical and all-knowing God made us in His image. And that's why we can understand logic and knowledge and learn how God upholds His creation. A logical God created our senses, so they are basically reliable in a biblical worldview. Of course, they're marred by sin, but God's Word, which comes with the authority of God Himself, is always right and is the standard we can judge everything. Listen, if the universe came from nothing and has no meaning, then why do we have laws of logic and science? How do they even exist if everything came just by random chance? Scientists assume things will work the way they worked in the past. That's the whole basis of being able to do experiments and test things. But why would they do that? If everything came through random chance, why assume that everything, the laws of nature, won't change tomorrow? See, when you leave God out, you end up bankrupt. The world doesn't work without God, and life does not work without acknowledging God. Biblical creation is so important because of everything that flows out of it. If you reject creation from the Bible, then you reject so much. You might as well reject everything else that's coming in the Bible. A biblical creation mattered to the Lord Jesus. He said in Mark 10 and verse number 6, "But from the beginning it was not so." From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. The Scripture says that God made them male and female, and Jesus said He did it from the beginning of creation. It wasn't that there were many years, millennia of evolution and dying and death, and then finally we got to man. No, Jesus said it was from the beginning, just like Genesis asserts. So Jesus didn't lie. He affirmed God created all things. He reasoned from creation and taught the truth of a biblical creation. Let's go ahead and pray and thank God for the creation and ask Him to help us as we look at the world around us to rejoice in His goodness and to live all our days for His glory. Dear Father, we are so glad that we can come today into Your presence. And Lord, we do it recognizing that You are the King of all things because You made everything. You are worthy, Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things. And by Your will, they exist and were created. We give You the glory today, Lord, and we want to give our thanks to You, our great Creator. And we look forward, God, to the day when You will come again, when You will make right all the wrongs, when You will make a new heaven and a new earth, and we will be with You in Your perfect creation for all of eternity. God, we thank You for making us. We thank You for making us for Your glory. We thank You for redeeming us from our sins, but for the glory of Your great name. And so, God, we ask that You might help us to love You with all our heart, for all our days, for all your glory. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.